This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 864 Seasons.
They are loving this in Washington, but on the flip side, it could not be worse for the Cleveland Browns. And how many times have we said that? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff.
Wow.
It takes a lot to get to what feels like rock bottom for Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just, you just keep mining and going down, 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 I guess, until you reach China. I have no idea, but this is a disaster, Perloff, for Deshaun Watson, who is taking all of the slings and arrows here.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously the face of this team, but there's so many other problems. Their defense was terrible against Washington. Set the edge just once a year, and then they cannot run the ball. And that's supposed to be this team's strength, right? Kevin Stefanski's offense starts with the run, and it ain't there. Obviously, Nick Chubb's not there. That hurts. He's practicing. The line is a total disaster. And honestly, Deshaun Watson is, there's little things that he's not doing right. He's just not getting rid of the ball. But there was a drop by Judy that was just like, it deflates the whole team. I mean, his
the
receivers.
One in the end zone, are you talking about?
Yeah. His receivers are so unbelievably awful that it's hard to assign the blame here.
Well, you wonder, are the receivers awful because you can't afford a lot of good receivers because you're paying Deshaun so much
money? Amari Cooper's getting a ton of money and he can't catch a cold.
Listen, I think it starts and ends with Deshaun because he's going to get so much criticism because he's been bad and the contract is so big. I mean, if you want to go by like some of these certain metrics and stuff, like his quarterback rating is a 26. I mean, this is just really, really bad. And it also doesn't feel like, oh, this is just us parachuting in and slicing and dicing the stats to tell us what we want to see, show us what we want to see. He's been bad, Pearl. It's been bad for years.
Well, last week he was good, actually. Like, he had a very high PFF grade.
Against the Raiders, fantastic.
Yeah, he was good against the Raiders. He basically was all completions and drops. That's the name of the game. He was bad against Washington, but I watched that game. I watched a lot of that game, and it did feel like there was one guy who had played. It didn't seem like anybody was putting full-out effort, especially defensively. Like, what happened?
Well, how about having two penalties on the same drive on the defense for too many men in the huddle? And then you had it on the offensive side, too, and it actually disrupted what would have been a fourth down play you were going for, but you couldn't do it because you had too many men in the huddle. I mean, you can't even break the huddle correctly.
Yeah, I mean, they made the playoffs last year, too. That's the incredible thing with Joe Flacco. I think that, I will say this, I think Deshaun, the energy around Deshaun and the controversy about whether they should play him or not, like, it's affecting the whole team. Like, nobody's playing up to their level. And Njoku can't stay healthy. They obviously, you look at this team, like, would they be better if they had Njoku and Nick Chubb out there every week, healthy? Of course they would. But I would switch right now. I'd just try Jameis, just for the sake of change.
Right.
Again, I'm not putting it all on Deshaun, but this seems like an obvious move to make. And if it wasn't for the money, they would have already done it.
Okay, so this has kind of become the new thing. Now everyone is rallying. There's a lot of groundswell. You got to go to Jameis. But I ask you this. with Deshaun Watson not hurt, you go to Jameis. How do you go back to Deshaun?
It's not like Jameis is going to light the world on fire.
Well, but
and if he does, then that's a good problem to have.
Okay, and I guess then if Jameis got hurt, you'd go back to Deshaun. But wasn't the whole thing about getting Joe Flacco out of town is because Deshaun didn't want a backup quarterback who was breathing down his neck?
Well, yeah,
and I don't remember those reports ever really being refuted.
Well, then again, they did win high-end backup behind him. Jameis is as high-end as you get. The guy threw for 5,000 yards one season.
I guess so, but I just wonder how much power does Deshaun Watson have in this organization because of the contract, everything they gave up, where he can say, "I, you can't bench me." And I think the ownership group doesn't want him benched. And they're the ones who are ultimately going to have the say, for better or for worse, mostly for worse.
I think they will bench him. I think if it doesn't turn around fast, it doesn't matter.
But do you think he's going to get benched before the next game?
No, no. I think he gets one more game. Also, didn't Stefanski say that yesterday?
Yeah, he did say
for what it's worth. But I think they're leaning that way. I know what you're saying, the schedule and how much they're paying him. But I think this is enough is enough. I think they're going to just try a change for change's sake. Sometimes that's all you need.
Okay, but then when do you go? So you don't go back to Deshaun? You do? Like,
I don't know.
You just play this by ear and go by the seat of your pants week to week?
If I tell you Jameis Winston is going into the lineup, do you have any confidence that that's going to last the rest of the season? So that's when Deshaun goes back in.
I'll tell you, I know people are treating Jameis Winston like Joe Montana sitting behind him, and all you have to do is just unleash him. It's like, that's not the Jameis Winston experience, everybody. But the other part is, I would have felt a lot better if they had Joe Flacco back there. And I know Flacco, they lost yesterday against the Jags, but a competent person, I think, can run this offense. You're right. You're saying the receivers are bad, and I understand that, and the offensive line is banged up. But again, that's why Deshaun is a mobile quarterback. You feel good that he can make up for some of those deficiencies. And there's a lot of teams that have guys banged up, and they're finding ways.
I don't know. It feels like a jailbreak every time that he says hike.
Guys back this week, didn't they, on the offensive line? It was actually, believe it or not, they were more healthy this week.
So they have Philly coming up, who's one of the worst defenses in the league, and then Cincinnati, who's also one of the worst defenses in the league. That gives Winston a shot. I mean, they're both, I think, bottom 10. That gives Winston a shot. I mean, I'm sorry, gives Deshaun a shot to improve. If he can't do it against Philly, then I don't know who else he can beat up.
Nobody. 855-212-4227. It's just the worst possible confluence of events, right? You got Deshaun playing bad. You got the contract, which is a total albatross. And then I only would think this because I've listened to a little Cleveland sports talk radio. I think the fact that other quarterbacks are having success other places is really chapping everybody, particularly Baker Mayfield, particularly even Joe Flacco. I know they lost yesterday, but I think that part of it is also just really rubbing people the wrong way, especially the Baker thing.
And I think also a lot of people had to hold their nose bringing him in and embracing him because, you know, I know there are a lot of people who cast judgment on Deshaun. A lot of people cast judgment on the people of Cleveland and Browns fans who embraced him. But there are people who embraced him because they felt like, well, this is my team and I can't leave my team. And they say he's good. We're going all in. So this is my chance at Super Bowl. I'm going to embrace this guy. And then he's giving them nothing.
Yeah, and it's a long-suffering fan base, so you can understand why they would have a little bit of hope. Like, oh, man, it's not perfect. This isn't exactly who I would pick, but I want to see some winning, right?
I feel like we're in Captain Obvious territory. This is not working out the way they designed it.
It is not.
You know, so you're saying when you pay $230 million guaranteed to a quarterback and he stinks, that's bad?
I'm just saying it's a special kind of awful is what I'm saying. It's not just that he's bad. You know, we see quarterbacks that are just bad. This is more than that.
But I think the question is, A, do you bench him, and B, do you cut him this offseason? That's where we're at. To unprecedented cap hit coming. I think that they're going to consider it.
Well, you're definitely drafting a quarterback, right? At the very least.
if you're not going to cut Deshaun, that means you'll have a rookie sitting there with a $72 million backup.
So be it. I mean, you're talking about cutting a $72 million quarterback. So
that's what I think you have to watch in Cleveland. Like, is it going to get so bad that they decide to take this crazy cap hit in the offseason and move on? I think they might. I think that's where we're at. And then you're right. They should draft somebody. But if you draft somebody, maybe you get Deshaun out of the building, too.
I mean, imagine you get rid of this guy after a couple of years. What you have to think, what a rudderless ship this thing is. You know?
I mean, it's again the same old Cleveland Browns, and everybody thinks their GM is really smart, Andrew Berry. So I don't know what something in the water there. They made the playoffs last year, incredibly. I think it's the ownership group, personally.
I also think you'll never see another guaranteed contract again. If Deshaun goes out there and wins Super Bowl and they're great, maybe some other rogue owner says, you know, I'm going to give it a guaranteed guy because I want that championship. I think everybody's going to see this as a cautionary tale now, saying don't do it because the Browns are about to take, as you mentioned, a historic cap hit if they do indeed cut him.
Yeah, I mean, the Russell Wilson cap hit was pretty good, too. All these contracts have I mean, if the Dolphins have to move on from Tua, that'll be ridiculous, too. So, I don't know. If the guarantee, I think, was a little, my personal opinion, it was a little bit overblown because their signing bonuses are gigantic now. They're getting up to $200 million. You're right. This is Sean thing. I think the only debate is it's the worst contract ever, right? Isn't that the question?
I see. I think that's Captain Obvious.
Yeah. You. Definitely. I think you're right. You're right.
Even Russell, I mean, it's not like this.
Yeah, the Russ one didn't work out. But then again, we signed five big ones this offseason. None of them are really working out great.
Tua
could go down as a bad one.
Definitely, but that just seems a little more run-of-the-mill. It's like you drafted a guy, you paid him, he didn't work out because of concussions. Like, I'm not firing people over that one.
Well. That is not exactly the whole story. It's not like random concussions.
No, you paid him after you knew
he's one a tiny guy with concussions. So I think there's blame to go there.
Right, but at least it's a football-related thing. You know, it's like this was hazard of the job.
Deshaun's fully a football-related thing. If he was good, nobody would care. Like everything EJ just mentioned about having to hold your nose, they could easily do that if he was winning.
I get it, but it made it. It's part of the story. It will always be part of the story is that they stuck their neck out and gave all this money to a guy
who
even a month ago has one other person who's coming out and accusing him of the same kind of stuff. So it's like that definitely plays into why this is the worst.
But you will agree, if he was awesome and they were winning football, then Browns fans just would not care. People are like, you're able to compartmentalize. You have to be a sports fan. So if you want to dig deep into every roster, there's a lot of issues.
Yeah, I mean, some a little more obvious than others, but yes, you're right, and it's terrible.
I mean,
the other thing yesterday, we might not spend a lot of time on it, but you mentioned Tua, and you know he's probably going to come back, by the way, from his bad concussion because they held they somehow got out of New England yesterday with a win, and I've seen 1,000 replays of that Jalen Polk touchdown that then got overturned. It looked like a touchdown to me. I don't even know what I'm seeing anymore sometimes. I feel like I'm watching 1,000 replays. This is college and pro, by the way. I'm watching 100 replays from a million different angles. I don't know. How do you know? It's called a touchdown on the field. That should be a touchdown. I felt bad for the Patriots.
I mean, it's the rule. The whole foot has to land in that situation, which I don't understand, too. Sometimes you can put your toes down. Sometimes you can't. By the way, sometimes if you even touch the plant leg of a punter, it's 15 yards, even if it's incidental. Who knows? The Europeans watching this game are mystified. You could tell during the Minnesota Jets game. They're like, wait, what is that rule? And even I'm like, what is that rule?
Chris is our pal in Birmingham. It is one of the big stories of the weekend and of the season. Vanderbilt takes down Alabama. Chris, how are you feeling?
I am relaxed. Not stressed out or nothing because what I said a local sports in Birmingham, 94.5 jocks, that I said Bama win this, they'll probably win about 18-15 because, I mean, because I feel like, I actually said early in the season that Vandy would win at least 6 games this year because like, they have nothing to lose, most of the case. And also, and also it doesn't really affect me because, like, just one game, and even still, though, it's just and everybody's just underselling Vandy as if they're just some walkover team. I never did that. So
you were a 22.5-point favorite. So I think that's why people thought you were going to walk over Vandy.
People buy way too much in the betting lines analytics these days, and actually just. Look at each team, and there's, as a matter of fact, if you're a smart, competitive college football, hell, NFL football player, NFL fan, you look at every week as just 0-0, don't look at what the week's prior.
All right, but, you know, I love it. I love that no one's panicking. That's probably a good and healthy way to be, and thank you for the call. But I'm looking at week one shutout, obviously, of Western Kentucky. I'm looking at week two, 42-16. Maybe that game was a little closer. The South Florida game. Wisconsin, 42-10, Pearl. And then Georgia, 41-34. And then Vandy, you lose 40-35. It's pretty obvious here what's changed. All of a sudden, your defense is playing good teams, and they're getting scored on.
But you said Vanderbilt wasn't a good team, so...
I don't know. Are they a good team?
Well, I mean, listen, they miss a short field goal that would have beaten Missouri? So Missouri, it turns out, is not good.
Yeah, Missouri's not good.
But we didn't know that at the time. Like, Vanderbilt should have beaten Missouri. And they did beat Va Tech, who's actually better, I think, than we thought. So, yeah, I think Vandy's having an up year. We'll see. I think it's going to be an interesting committee. You're going to judge Vanderbilt very much. It's very important, this, how Vanderbilt does the rest of the season for Alabama.
And I ask you something.
Yeah.
How do you think they're going to do when they play Texas on the 26th?
Alabama?
No, Vandy.
Oh, Vandy. I don't know. Texas is unproven.
Okay.
You think, like, what do you know about Texas? Well, I mean, we thought Tennessee was unbeatable. They were the number four team in the country. Maybe they'll hang in there. Maybe they won't. Do you think Texas is... You really think you understand the long ones?
I don't know. I'm curious, because you're talking about, this is important here for Alabama, how Vanderbilt looks the rest of the way. So they play Kentucky next week, which, by the way, has been no picnic for anybody.
Yeah, that should be 19-16.
And you got Texas coming up, obviously LSU and Tennessee later on in the season.
By the way, the SEC this year, Texas is going to drop one. They definitely will. I don't know to who. I just feel like every game, like, we kind of knew that Tennessee was in trouble coming in. I heard a bunch of experts say, ooh, this is a tough spot. I have no idea how good this SEC is. They had, what, six top 10 teams or something? The committee is going to have a really hard time. I think 12, we were worried that 12 was going to feel like not enough or whatever, or I mean too much. It's going to be wild. This is going to be, once again, a very controversial selection.
There's one team in the SEC that's coming on fast, too, that I think everybody slept on because they forgot about them after week one. Texas A&M. Looks a little different now. Defense has been
good. Oh, jeez.
Defenses look great. They just mauled Missouri, and they've played great defense. You want to talk about defense? They played great defense all season. You know, Bowling Green, I know they gave up 20 points, but Bowling Green actually lit up Penn State, so that's not a bad offense. That's the most points they've given up all season. They changed quarterbacks. They look a little different now.
Did they go back to Wegman?
Well, they went back to Wegman, but I look at the schedule. You got LSU at home, and then you got Texas to end the year.
But don't you feel nervous just saying that about Texas A&M?
I do, but I think they're a little more mentally tough than they were under Jimbo. Because I think Jimbo teams, that Notre Dame game, they would be toast. Like, they would, you could have racked off two or three more losses after that. The fact that they've come back and played so well since then tells me maybe something's different behind Elko.
855-212-4227. So much to get to. Love hearing from the Alabama fans, and everyone's very calm. Very, very calm. All right. I guess this is what all those championships get you, right? A little peace of mind.
I mean,
I'd be worried about the defense, but that's just me.
I think you got two Heisman invites. Focus on the positive. I mean, Ryan Williams is just, I don't even understand. How can you be 17 and that good? You're the best player on the field everywhere. He's stunning. I think you're excited about that. I love this new Alabama. Can't stop anyone. That have Jalen Milroe and Ryan Williams score 40 points, at least are fun.
855-212-4227. Lots more to do. You can weigh in on Deshaun Watson. You can weigh in on Alabama. We know we're on in Arkansas. How you guys feeling on this fine Monday? So much to do. Got a lot of happy Texans fans today. It's fine. You deserve it.
Happy at your expense, by the way.
I know. Well, I mean, listen, Bills deserve to lose that game. You got to play smart. And that's something they didn't do. Next, we do something we call the M&P 500. Whose stock is up? Whose stock is down after a huge weekend in sports? We get to that next.
The M&P 500 on the Infinity Sports Network.
All right, every Monday we do the M&P 500. Whose stock is up? Whose stock is down around the sports world? Maggie Gray, why don't you get us started?
All right, I'm going to go with a stock up first, and we have not talked about the Packers very much. They beat a Rams team that's really banged up, but the stock is up on Xavier McKinney. He was a big free agent signing. Sorry to the Giants fans here. Giants gave up on him. Packers sign him. And Prof, what does he do? He's got a pick, an interception in every single game this season. Talk about a free agent signing paying off. McKinney has been fantastic. Packers win. They're going to have to keep pace now with the Vikings. Also, the Lions were on their bye week this week, but the Vikings are the only unbeaten team in the NFL. That's not true. I'm lying about that. Kansas City plays tonight.
Tonight, we'll see.
We'll see. They're one of two unbeaten teams. Big win for the Packers. Huge signing with Xavier McKinney. He's been awesome.
Awesome. I'm going to go to an old take of mine that you scoffed at, rightfully so. The rookie quarterbacks went from awful in week one to all of a sudden they're unstoppable. All three rookies won this weekend. Bo Nix got into it with Sean Payton, but still looked pretty good. Caleb Williams had his best game as a pro, and Jaden Daniels, MVP chance in the background. I mean, he is insane. All of a sudden, it's been a 180, because I will admit, Bo Nix couldn't throw it anywhere week one. He's obviously gotten a little better incrementally.
Well, the Patrick Sertan pick six helps too.
Yeah, but Bo Nix is, you could tell, like, the game against the Jets in the rain was one of the worst quarterback performances of all time. He had minus seven passing yards at halftime. He's going to be better than that. He's not great yet. Caleb Williams might be great. He was, I think he's losing a lot of shine because of Jaden Daniels being so great. But Caleb Williams has gotten a little bit better every week. Easy opponent this week with the Panthers, but I think Bears fans are thrilled about the way he's playing. And Jaden Daniels, I mean, perfect. What other word can you use to describe him?
He's going unreal. That's a little stock up. Did you even see Bryce Young got into the game? Actually threw a dime. Not
bad. I kind of floated in the air for about 90 seconds.
It was also, I think it was 35 to 10.
Canales said he played great, too. He loved it.
Who said he played
Canales.
Great? Sure. Stock down. Antonio Pierce. This has been a tough week. Raiders head coach. Get into the social media gaffe, which we talked a lot about last week with Devontae Adams. He wants out. Then he gets a show cause penalty from the scandal going back to Arizona State. And then the team goes out and loses to Bo Nix. And Bo Nix is getting into it on the sideline. And the Raiders were terrible yesterday. So tough week for the head coach.
Yeah, I mean, that team stinks. Yeah. I actually thought when Brock Bauer scored an early touchdown that maybe they were, if they'd gone to 3-2, I would have said right now that he is the coach of the year, because that team, that roster is awful.
I mean, Gardner Minshew benched for Aiden O'Connell for the Raiders, and then there is social media evidence of Gardner Minshew picking his nose and eating the booger. Back to you, Prolo.
Okay, my worst...
Tough break.
My stock down is, I'm going to put these three entities together. ESPN, the Los Angeles Lakers, and the James family. Because there was a headline this weekend that said, it was basically Saturday morning, Bronny's disruptive D touted in preseason debut.
That
is the ultimate, basically, you have to meet this girl. She has a great personality. You are touting Bronny's D. He was 1-for-6 in his preseason debut, and you're putting a headline about how his disruptive D was good in a preseason game. Is that how desperate we are to find something positive about this kid? It is like if he goes 1-for-23 in a game and like his guy only scores 26 points, are we going to say, ah, good job, Bronny? This is the ultimate participation trophy NBA player of all time. It's like everything is
respect to.
Yeah, everything is wrong with an entire sports generation is summed up in that headline. This is the ultimate. Oh God! Oh, my son's in the league. Like, come on! I was actually excited for Bronny. Now I'm dreading this experiment.
We're trying to tell you,
Prof. You were like, come on! It's a feel good story. We're like, this is insanity.
Well, I just like think ESPN and JJ Redick and everybody can't try and make it something it's not. Just like, get the moment, and then let's see the alley-oop, and let's go move on, put him in the G League.
Bogus.
No.
Stormed in like the Kool-Aid man.
I don't know what this is, up, down, left, right. You spent the summer telling us, I can't wait to see them play together, yes. And now you're mad at headlines? You were making headlines the whole time.
Well, I
want
to
see the problem.
I want to see the play, but don't tell me Bronny's good.
You did.
I mean,
we've been telling you he's going to belong in the NBA. You're like, I can't wait until October. Get me that first game.
Get me the first game. But now it looks like I even get the sense that they might not send him to the G League, even though they've kind of waffled on that.
You, I think at one point where you said, this is Ken Griffey Jr., Ken Griffey Sr., yes. Didn't we love that moment? Yes. Why shouldn't we love this moment? Because like, he's not Ken Griffey Jr.
I'm still going to enjoy the moment, but yeah, wait, you guys do want to see the play, right?
No.
No.
Don't care.
Well, you got to do the play and then just move him right down in the G League.
I know, but see, that's the thing. The thing about Ken Griffey Jr. and Sr. together was like, Ken Griffey Sr. had an incredible baseball career, and then Junior's the phenom, number one overall pick. You knew he was going to be great. This is a special moment. You just said it yourself. This is a manufactured moment. Bronny doesn't belong in the NBA, so they're going to sell us this manufactured moment. Like, the Griffeys, both of those guys deserve to be on the field. Bronny doesn't deserve
well,
to be
Well, Ken was pretty old at that
okay,
point.
Okay, well, right, whatever. Big red machine.
But it's okay if the dad's hanging on to play with the stud teenager. The dad is still the best player in this dynamic
okay.
right now.
All right. You guys are going to cry when it happens.
Nope.
Yes, you are.
I'm not.
You're going to be tear up. There's going to be music in the background.
Why? Because there's like dust in the air? What are we going to be
it's
crying
It's going to be emotional.
About? Because why? Because nothing ever breaks right for the James family? Like when they finally catch a break?
Finally.
What are you talking about?
You suck, Bogus.
I'll also point out that I'll be asleep when this happens.
Could I maybe sing a song that maybe will evoke some emotion? The cat's in the cradle and a silver spoon. Little boy, something, 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 something.
The man on the moon.
Yeah. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Andrew Bogus. We'll get together then, little Bogues.
This is a real classic tale.
Yeah.
Classic American tale. The guy becomes the second greatest basketball player of all time and then pulls his strings.
Dad?
To get his less talented kid into the league.
Dad, want to have a catch? Want to throw me an alley-oop? Aren't you guys sucker for father-son moments?
Yeah, aren't you also... Who are you rooting for next? The Murdochs? You want more Nepo, guys getting opportunities they don't deserve? This is what we're celebrating?
Can't you guys... Oh, well, now I'm back on Bronny's headline because of this attitude. Nepo...
I mean, I'm sorry. I was on social. You didn't roll your eyes when you saw those pictures of LeBron sitting on the bench with Bronny was like, two or three. And then showing him on the bench with him, today. I'm just like, why should I care about this? I really asked myself that question. I was like, wait a minute. This has nothing to do with me. Like, this is nice for LeBron, I guess. But, like, the NBA and ESPN, they're trying to force us to feel good about this. And I think that's what's making it worse. Like, just have them playing.
I have a source close to a source in L.A. who said that there's a rumor that Bronny is just not that good. Facts.
Double sourced. A source close to a source.
I totally just want to see the play. Can you guys just have fun? And the Nepo thing, by the way, I saw a headline. If you guys notice one thing, you don't like nepotism in sports, right?
Well, I feel like we see it in other places like business world, and that I almost understand because I don't know if the son's a total screw-up or if he's good. In sports, I've got the proof is in the game.
The NFL coaches' sons are dominating this season. Like, all of a sudden, Clint Kubiak's good. Like, it's weird. It's been the return of the Nepo babies in football. That's one of the big headlines. So maybe it works. Maybe this is going to work. All right, fine. Then
or
Bronny.
Steve Belichick.
Bronny, D him up, Bronny. D him up, Bronny. Steve Belichick, isn't he at Washington or somewhere?
Yeah. Washington, D.C.
Sorry, big win.
Day one.
Yep. Big win over Michigan. Get a little revenge over the national championship. A little late. Stock up on Ashton Janti from Boise. Tony is calling from Boise to gloat. Dude's fun to watch, Tony.
Yeah, he's pretty much unstoppable, isn't he?
Pretty much. He's also the front runner now for the Heisman. Odds change.
He reminds me of Barry Sanders back in the day. But, he doesn't really juke or jive. He just runs through the people.
I was going to say, a little less Barry. Who's his doppelganger?
I mean, he's small. He's small like Barry. I like that.
The Bears, what was his name?
Walter Payton?
Yeah, Walter Payton. So he's like a mix.
Between Barry and Walter Payton, Tony, I love it. I'm going to keep noodling on that while Bogus has headlines for us.
What about a little Damian Tomlinson? That's what I see.
I feel like he's cruise you. He can he hits harder.
He used to crush people with his stiff arm. Actually, his stiff arm was before Derrick Henry. It was the LT stiff arm.
Yeah.
I was reading about Jed T, why he didn't go to UT or something. Like, everyone thought he was too small.
Really?
Yeah. So, yeah, I think, but he's big. Like, nobody can tackle him. I love a small running back. I can't wait. I want him on my NFL team, too.
I wonder if he's actually going to win the Heisman. This would be something, obviously.
I think he's got a great shot because, as we're seeing in college football, all these big-time teams are losing.
Yeah.
So if you love Cam Ward, wait till next week or 2 weeks from now. If you love any of these guys.
Yeah, if you love the Colorado guys, they're definitely good.
If you love the Colorado guys, you know they're getting some L's. So, like, it's just, and it looks like Boise might be able to run the table here. And he's not going to have any harder games. Like, he's averaging 10 yards a carry right now. That's not going to go down.
Yeah.
So.
Milroe's going to have some good stats this year.
Yeah.
With Kalen DeBoer. But, again, you don't win the Heisman in October, even if you're a running back. There's been rather, like, Fournette was 200 yards a game through September and October. So we'll see.
Man, I'm just trying to think of, I got to do a little research here about players who have won the award from small schools. Let's get to Bogus and his headlines. Hello.
These headlines are sponsored by Prize Picks. Football season's here, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks, use code M&P, and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. So we had a 90-minute weather delay before Sunday Night Football in Pittsburgh, and we had a 12-minute idiot delay during the seventh inning in L.A. because Dodger fans were throwing baseballs and beer cans and other things at the Padres. Manager Mike Shildt proud of the way his guys handled themselves.
Hostile environment. What I got out of it was a bunch of dudes that showed up in front of a big hostile crowd with stuff being thrown at them. And said, we're going to talk with our play. We ain't going to back down. We're going to elevate our game. We're going to be together, and we're going to take care of business.
And they hit 6 home runs, tying the postseason record. And Yu Darvish allowed just 1 run over 7 for a 10-2 series-tying rout in Game 2. Padres left fielder Jurickson Profar, one of the targets of the thrown objects, partly because of this.
Is lifted in the air to left field. It sends Profar back, tiptoeing to the corner. He's at the wall. It is! Nobody's sure yet. Now
they
say
he caught it.
He caught it. Mookie Betts is rounding the bases thinking that it's a home run. Jurickson Profar says, I got it.
Joe Davis, John Smoltz, the Fox graphics crew, the stadium operators who began their home run lights and celebrations, all duped by Profar, who reached into the left field stands, took the homer away, but instead of showing the ball to anybody that mattered, he turned his back to the field and talked smack to the fans in the left field corner for, I don't know, a good 10 seconds.
That's why when the manager said we talked with our play, I'm like, Profar was talking a lot to the crowd. Tatis was on the front step, just giving it to the fans pretty much the whole game.
I like that he was talking trash to the fans, but I felt it was a little cruel to the hitter, like a fellow professional hitter. That guy thought he had a home run, got around second. Isn't that, like, would you throw it Profar after that if you were the Dodgers? I guess maybe not in the playoffs. That's a little rude to do the other. That's another professional batter who thought he had a home run in the playoffs, and you totally juked him out.
Man, forget that. If I was Jurickson Profar, I would have ran that ball right back to the pitcher's mound. Nobody would have known. I would have had that sucker right in my glove the entire time, and I would have handed it right back to you, Darvish. Here you go, buddy. I got you.
The Phillies and Mets uninterrupted in Game 2 in Philly, a 7-6 thriller won by the home team to even that series as well. Nick Castellanos, a game-ending RBI single after his team erased 3-0 in 4-3 holes, then wasted a 6-4 edge. Both NL series resume tomorrow. The ALDSs have the stage today. The Guardians go for a 2-0 lead on the Tigers. Then the Yankees go for a 2-0 lead on the Royals. Now all the way back to Pittsburgh. Once Mother Nature let them play, the Steelers fought their way to a 17-13 lead late on the Cowboys. But Dak Prescott threw a touchdown pass with 20 seconds left for a 2017 W. Two plays before that, Mike Tomlin's defense forced a fumble at the goal line but didn't recover it.
There's a fine line between drinking wine and squashing grapes in our business, and, you know, that's an example of it. You know, that ball's on the ground right there in the red area, And that's the difference.
He's the best. Both his teams, though.
I don't know if anyone would ever describe anything that Pittsburgh's doing on offense as fine wine. No way.
Both these teams are 3-2, as are the Bears. After beating up the Panthers, 36-10. Caleb Williams, 304 yards, two scores, both to former Panther DJ Moore. The Vikings, 5-0, barely, a 23-17 escape from London over the Jets. And the Commanders are 4-1 after dismissing the Browns, 34-13. This is Washington's best start since 2008. No three-peat for the Las Vegas Aces. They lost Game 4 at home to the Liberty, 76-62. So New York returns to the finals instead. Game 1's in Brooklyn on Thursday against the Sun or the Lynx. Connecticut forcing a Game 5 yesterday, 92-82. They play tomorrow night in Minnesota. Guys, back to you.
Bogish, thank you so much. See you guys on the phones. We'll get to some of the boneheaded decisions that we heard and saw yesterday, Saturday. A real, a lot of Fulbright scholars roaming the sidelines with college football and the NFL. We'll get to that next.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and batter up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy. Together, let's drive.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't decide between a boutique fitness studio, an essentials-only gym, a pickleball league, or a Pilates class pack? Why choose when you can have it all, plus more? For 40 years, Fitness Formula Clubs has been Chicago's all-in-one destination for fitness, fun, and relaxation. Voted Chicago's best, FFC offers 10 health clubs across Chicagoland. Enjoy group fitness classes, pickleball leagues, outdoor pools, and splash bars. Full-service spas, recovery lounges, free parking, and much more. Build muscle, boost confidence, and find your home away from home. Visit ffc.com/odyssey today to claim your special offer.
Next, Maggie and Perloff. Manny, your upbeat club music is not going to make me happy today. Nothing will. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Well, I'm happy to be here with you guys, but just disgusted in how my football team, the Buffalo Bills, finish out a really tough game against the Houston Texans, Pearl, because they played awful. The Bills were terrible in the first half, getting down again. This looked like a redo of the Ravens game, and they just could not make a play. Allen was off. All the receivers, I mean, credit to the Houston defense, they were good. But you get yourself back in the game, right? And this is the NFL. And you get yourself back in the game where all of a sudden now you've got a tie game. Improbably, you've got a tie game, okay? After you kick a field goal, after the Texans fumble, you get the ball back. You absolutely should have punched in a touchdown there. But again, the Bills' offense was bad. Josh Allen seemed like he was concussed, yet back out on the field. So then you trade. You're able to hold the Texans to a punt.
Yeah, because the Texans screwed that up.
So the Texans, I was saying, this was not Mensa on the sidelines here yesterday on either side of this thing. And so the Texans are basically giving the game away, but because of an amazing punt that lands at the 3-yard line, the Bills are backed up all the way right at their own end zone, okay? Houston has 3 timeouts, and it's a tie game. Are we all together now on this one? So what do you do if you're the Bills? You run the football, right? You force the other team to use their timeouts. So even if you don't get the first down, you get a little more space for your punter, and you hope that you're punting the ball away to a team that's going to have about 20 seconds left with no timeouts. What did the Bills do? They threw the ball 3 straight times and then had their punter with their heels, Pearl, off on the back of the end zone, forced to make this crazy punt, and then had a timeout to take a timeout with 2 seconds left. And then their automatic kicker, Kaimi Fairbairn, who's going to probably end up in the freaking Hall of Fame one day, hits a 59-yarder. Bills lose right at double zeros, triple zeros, whatever. Just brutal coaching. And I'm just wondering, last week I said I was disappointed in the Bills coaching because of the ill-advised trick play that they ran right as they were getting the momentum back. You felt like this was another thing. They were wrestling the momentum back from the Houston Texans. They had the momentum when they forced the C.J. Stroud fumble and the offense can't capitalize. Just a brutal, brutal way to lose.
So they're going to win this division again. For what?
About that? They're playing the Jets on Monday night. That's a huge game.
How many years in a row have they run it?
This is 5.
So, and this is, I think the division's down in a unique way this year again.
You still have Rodgers, though.
I mean, limping Rodgers.
No, I know. We'll talk about that game.
But they're definitely like, this team, they're not making any noise in the postseason, Maggie. They might play the Chiefs close, but this is, at a certain point, you kind of want to rip the Band-Aid last year. I think this was, in a way, a good thing for the Bills because this put McDermott on this under the spotlight.
He should be.
But so I think that your normal 11-6 lose in the first round, it's going to look a little different. I think people are going to look back at this game and say, well, what are we doing here?
Thank you. This is why I wanted them to go after Jim Harbaugh so badly, and they blew that.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure Harbaugh with this roster. The other thing, too, is they're definitely not built exactly the right way. Like, these receivers stink.
Thank you. It turns out it was fool's gold the first 3 games.
Well, I would say that.
First of all, they should have lost to the Cardinals, number one. They should have absolutely lost that opener.
Well, they should have won that game handily. I mean, I don't think the Cardinals got a first down for a 30-minute swath of the game.
No, but the Cardinals got hosed on a bad call at the end. Yeah, they should have gotten a pass interference.
But the Bills should have put that game away easily. And then they haven't been really that close in the other games. Except for
Miami is bad and Jacksonville is bad.
Yeah, but then again, Miami's going to be bad all year. I think the Patriots are the worst team in the league. And I think the Jets are very vulnerable.
We'll talk about the Jets in a minute because you are concerned about Rodgers is definitely limping.
So it's going to be the same movie again. It's going to be 11-6 and a divisional game. There's no way this team, I don't know how they get over the top. And that's got to be the only goal when you have Josh Allen.
Definitely.
And they just feel like if they won that game and went to 4-1, then maybe I could squint and see it. But this was a big, big loss.
Thank you, Pearl. It was. Lou's in Rochester. Probably feeling the same way that we are this morning. Disappointed. What's up, Lou?
Hey, Maggie. Listen, Sean McDermott is a real problem.
Yeah.
He's not good head coach. He implodes under Kane's situation. The best implosion was he's now Mr. 13-second man, where he botched that game that likely would have led them to the Super Bowl in Kansas City. Yeah. He held on to the lead. But he had zero offensive value to the team.
Well, that's not his thing, though.
What's that?
It's not his thing, you know. He's the defensive guy.
Yeah, but then why is he a coach?
Well, I'm with you. So here's the thing about McDermott, right? This is what's tough about it. And people who watch the Bills closely understand this. You got to give him credit for what he does with the defense, because these are a bunch of dudes who the casual fan, Lou, is not going to know a lot of these guys. Maybe the first round picks, you know. I mean, you know DeMar Hamlin because of the unfortunate thing that happened in Cincinnati. But this is not he is coaching up the defense to a point where they are playing over their skis right now. That has been a positive. But this is the gripe with McDermott. He has nothing to do with the offense, which is some coaches do, pearl off, some coaches don't. I don't love it. But if you're not going to have a say in like how the offense is or running plays, you at least have to have an awareness of what's going on the field when you're on offense. And when you have that situation yesterday, Josh Allen banged up, you're backed up against your own end zone, you got 25 seconds left, you've got to be the head coach there and be like, are we going to be smart or are we going to be dumb? Because you might not call the plays, and that's fine offensively, Pearl, but if you're doing dumb things, then that has to reflect on the head coach. And the other thing about Sean McDermott, he gets tight in big games, and that's been the big gripe with Bills fans for a long time. The closer the game in the playoffs, he gets tight, and that's been an issue. But can't you blame the head coach for when the team does dumb things?
Oh, yeah, but you're going to give him credit for hiring Joe Brady's good, though. I mean, it was brilliant to... They basically have made up for an aging roster by running the ball a lot, and that was smart. I mean, they've won, what? I mean, since Brady took over, what's their record? I think it's like they have three losses now.
Right, but he also was the one who hired Dorsey. So it's and you had Joe Brady there as the quarterback coach, and then he steps in, and that's fine, but he also rode too long with Dorsey.
Yeah,
after Dayball left.
Brady's a much better match with McDermott, because McDermott, you know, he... Ball control helps his defense a little bit. You're right. Like, I was actually wondering, watching that game, who are these DBs?
I mean,
they're young.
Also,
Josh Allen was a 9 for 30.
Yeah.
I think I saw a stat for 30 attempts. That's the worst completion percentage maybe in the history of the league.
He was off, but the receivers weren't helping him either. And they were going back to relying on, you know, trying to get these explosive plays when it was not there. It was not this run the offense kind of thing, the crossing routes and, you know, confusing the defense and finding guys. And, you know, instead you had drops, you had, you know, ill-advised explosive taking chances. Where's Dalton Kincaid? Is Curtis Samuel even getting a paycheck? What's he doing out there?
Here's a stat. Josh Allen was pressured on 16 dropbacks. He finished 1 for 14 for 24 yards on those.
The offensive line was bad, too. Thank you for reminding me.
Well, I mean, usually Josh Allen's much better against pressure. That's his thing. Like, he finds a way. He wasn't finding anything. He ran a little bit yesterday. Once again, too, they need his legs way too much, which makes him vulnerable.
I know. This is the hero ball stuff. Yeah, Credit to D'Amico Ryans. Allen was total. I think he was confused. And then he had a couple drops, too. And maybe his frontal lobe is somewhere in the Houston.
I think we also learned Khalil Shakir is way more important to that offense than I think even I realized.
Oh, you need him. This is like when they had Cole Beasley a few years ago. You need that security blanket slot for, you know, third and medium guy. Yeah, Khalil Shakir the whole season is resting on this dude. What are we doing? 855-212-4227. But no, Sean McDermott has to wear that. Last night, Cowboys Steelers to the final second.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.